I've been talking about conscious awakening, and this will be message number 3. The first 2 messages you can get for $99.95, no tax, but $40 shipping. And they're on my website. The reason I've been sharing about conscious awakening is that is what's happening all over the world. In fact, you can even see that in scriptures, how that there's an awakening that has taken place over the last 2,000 years. It's been a very, very slow process. And most of the world is still asleep. If you're asleep, I'm speaking literally now, if you're asleep, can you wake yourself up? Or you just wake up? But if you're in a deep sleep, you can't wake yourself up, but somebody else can. And that's what's happening today. There are people set in different places across the world that are helping people to awake to their true nature and identity. If you think back about 2,000 years, actually more than that, we'll go back to the time of Moses. People were taught that God loves them. But because they were so sinful, they had to kill an animal so God could forgive them. How could you put that over today? Well, I'm sure there's some that would go for it. But a God who loves you unconditionally, yet for you to be forgiven, you must kill an animal. And then, if that's not bad enough, we come to the New Testament, and then to be totally forgiven and have no more consciousness of sin, God had to have his son killed. That just does not make a lick of sense to me anymore. And I taught that for years. For God to have a death to love you and forgive you just doesn't compute. And the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And I have to ask, why not? Who made that rule? Who said that somebody had to die so that you could live? See, what has happened is all the religious teaching we've had for all of these years has done one thing mainly, and that's to keep you from waking up. To make you believe that you're a sinner, and your experience will tell you that, and convince you that you're a sinner until you wake up. And if you feel that you're bad enough and you feel guilty enough, you are so thankful to know that somebody died so you could be forgiven. I experienced that for years. I used to weep thinking God loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. But now I say, if he loved me so much, why would he have to have his son die so he could love and forgive me again? So there has to be a reason for Jesus to have died on the cross. Well, for one thing, God never needed a blood sacrifice, but I think in our state of consciousness and our state of sleep, we needed to have something that we could point to that would convince us that we were forgiven. But I tell you, Jesus did not die so God would once again love you and forgive you. He died because, and there's even a parable that says this, he died because wicked men slew him. They didn't want to hear the truth. He reputed their Old Testament scripture time and time again. But he also died to prove to you that death is not real. There's no reality in death. It's impossible for you to die. So when I began to see these things, I began to teach in about 1983. And my first book was called Coming Out of Darkness. And one of the very first messages I gave, as I said, for us to ever advance spiritually, we must have our concepts changed, especially about God and who He is and who we are. When we begin to discover the truth of being, we begin to wake up. I know I used to say, and it's true, that when I began to wake up, I woke up July 11th, 1982. I should say I began to wake up. I'm still waking up. But when I woke up on July 11th, 1982, I knew the truth of my being. I just woke up. And from that day to this, my life has changed so drastically. Yet I realize my life really hasn't changed. I've just woken up to the truth. The first thing that happened to me on July 11th, 1982, when I woke up, is all this stuff that I'd fought for 13 years, it was just gone. I don't know where it went. It was just gone. And from that day to this, I've never had to try to be different. Jesus said something very interesting. Now, I want to tell you, I use the scripture a lot because I absolutely love scripture. I just love it. But not the way I used to read it. It used to kill me every time I'd read it because all I would see in it is how sinful I was. But now when I read it, I see how wonderful I am. There's nothing like scripture when you understand it, when you can read it and see it allegorically. It'll give you the truth of your being. But it's not the Word of God. The thing that will keep you asleep and keep you separated in your consciousness from the truth of your being is believing that the Scripture is the Word of God. It'll keep you asleep. Now, it can be the Word of God, but the only Word of God is the Word which God speaks to you. That's your Word. And many people say, I never hear God speak. And I assure you, you do, but probably don't recognize it. Because when God begins to speak to you, it violates what you already know and what you believe many times. But Jesus said this, seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither can they understand. That's somebody that can be sitting in a meeting like this, and they see, but they can't see. They hear what you're saying, but they don't hear. Neither can they understand. That's people who are asleep. They can't help it. But if any way we can help awaken, one another to the truth. Very few people really saw Jesus. They saw a physical man. Very few really heard what he said. Jesus also said, everyone that is of the truth, that knows the truth of their being, that's my insert, hears my voice. Everyone that is of the truth, that knows the truth of their being, hears my voice. So, if you can hear, if you know the truth of your being, when you sit and listen to someone speak, you'll really hear what they're saying. We all need enlightenment. And what we've been taught is to have enlightenment, you have to study. I was told read 10 scriptures a day, go to Bible school, go to Bible college. There was a day when I could quote you whole chapters of the scripture. And I was not too enlightened at the time. Enlightenment does not come by thought or holding on to certain beliefs. You can't think your way into enlightenment. You can't believe your way into enlightenment. You can't hold on to certain beliefs to become enlightened. You say, my God, what do I do? I'll tell you how enlightenment comes. Job said in 32 verse 8, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. I was told many years ago, shut your Bible, burn your notes. I had notebooks full of all of my beliefs. Whether it be rapture, mid-trib, post-trib, I had notebooks of stuff I believe. I was told, close your Bible and burn your notes. I did that. And I just said, God help me. And when you're ready, and only God can make you ready, I should say only love can make you ready. In fact, if you take your Bible, every place that mentions the word God, cross it out and just mark love about it, above it. See, because it's love that brought you forth. There was no God to bring you forth. Love is what brought you forth. Love is what created this whole being. And once you begin to wake up and realize the truth of your being, you may realize how much time you've wasted seeking some God outside of yourself. There is no such being. I left Santa Claus God many, 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 many years ago. I have not prayed to a God in 30 years. I'll speak life. And I'll speak blessing over you. You cannot create or bring forth your own awakening. But it's happening. I have done so many things to try to get right with God. I went to one church one time, and they were, you know, teaching the Ten Commandments, and the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No graven images. So we were taught that a graven image, you know, could be a picture of Jesus, or it could be a picture of your family. You're not to have any graven images. So I took all of my family pictures of my kids, whatever, I took them all out and burned them. Now, I have to say, I'm not sorry I did that. I was for a long time, but I realized I have done so many things, but only because I was so hungry for God. I wanted the truth so bad. I'd do anything for the truth. We were told television was bad, so I took my TV out in the backyard with a sledgehammer and busted it in a million pieces. You see, hungry people, if you can get them to believe what you're telling, they'll do anything. But when I woke up July 11th, 1982, I realized I didn't have to do anything. Not one thing did I need to do to make myself better, to make myself more acceptable. I just became what I always was. Not a God, but a being of love. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. But if you're always listening to outside voices, when Carol and I married, I had 800 teaching tapes of Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps. I had all the Word of Faith preachers. 800, and I'll tell you, I listened to them every day. I had a 45-minute drive to work, and I listened to one of those tapes every day to and from work. There has to come a day when you turn off all the outside voices. You know, you have to get to the place where you say, God, if I don't hear you, I'm not listening to anybody else. I've got to know the truth. I spent, I don't know how long, I agonized over the Old Testament. Because I'll tell you, I met the God of love. And it was so confusing when I read how in the Old Testament God did ethnic cleansing. Yet I was supposed to believe that was the Word of God. I struggled with that. I can't tell you how long. I said, God, I can't be you. I got my answer to that when I read about Elijah. When the kids were making fun of him and he cursed them and a bear came out of the woods and tore him up. I read that and I said, God, how could you do that? And here's what I heard. I didn't do that. Elijah did it. I can't tell you what an impact that had on me. Because I began to realize that when you ascend in your consciousness and you come into the experience of the authority of God, you can misuse that authority. And what you say will come to pass. Michael said last night, you've created your destiny. You believe your experience. You speak what you think you are, and you will always be that. We are love made manifest. I'll never forget the first time I discovered that the only problem I had was my mind. That was probably the first scripture I ever spoke from. Was when Paul in Romans or in Ephesians chapter 4 told them that they were alienated and separated from the life of God through the darkened mind and understanding. If you don't know you are love manifested, it's just a darkened mind. You just don't understand who you are. Now, I used to try to be love manifested, and it didn't work too well. Mike said something else last night about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's someone who is living from a natural mind. Now I'll tell you something else. There is no natural mind. There is no carnal mind. There's only one mind in this universe, and that's the mind of Christ. But it's how you use that mind. It's how enlightened are you to the truth of your being. Because that will determine how you use your mind. And because you have the mind of Christ, not so much what you say. You can say a lot of things that will never come to pass. I used to confess healing for days upon end. Nothing ever came to pass. It's not what you say. It's what you believe. What do you believe in your heart? And if you don't know, listen to your talk. Because what you believe is what you're going to talk about. And what you talk about is going to form for you your experience. I proved that myself. Because for years, all I could talk about was, I'll never be able to please God. I'll never be able to quit some of the things I'm doing. I used to tell what I thought was God. I'll be like this when you come back. I know I'm never going to change. That's how much confidence I had in myself. But in one morning, that all went away. I don't know how it happened. I just woke up and knew. It's a knowing. And it's much deeper than an intellectual knowing. Once you really, really know something, experience, it will become your experience. So enlightenment does not come by thought. You cannot think your way awake. You can't believe your way awake. For years, I believed that Jesus lived in me. Yet I was angry, I was resentful, I carried some bitterness. I mean, if the Spirit really lives in you, I'm not saying you won't have some relapses and, you won't always be a success, but you begin to experience the ascension life begin to operate and flow from your innermost being. I experienced some of that the hard way. When I pastored the church, when we first went there was 40 people, and after, a short time, there was only 10 left. They didn't like my preaching. They didn't like the music. Of course, I know the problem. They didn't understand what I was saying. And Carol could tell you. They came to me with letters saying, all the stuff they didn't like about me. And my reaction was, I would go in my office and I'd lay on the floor and I'd weep because I knew they didn't understand. I know what it's like when people abuse you, to have that heart cry that says, God, they just don't know what they're doing. Anybody that would know what they were doing to a son of God would never do it. So how can you hold them accountable? They're sleeping. And perhaps with the right understanding, maybe you could help them wake up. The biggest problem we've had is good and evil. That's it. I used to tell people years ago, the greatest example that you have of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is read the Old Testament. It's the best example we have. So why were we told not to eat from that tree? You see, it was a man who created that God of the Old Testament. Man was creating God in his image. That's what the Old Testament is all about. Jesus came to rectify that mistaken concept of an angry, vengeful, wrathful God. Do you not think if there was such a place as an eternal, fiery, damnable hell, wouldn't that have been one of Jesus' main subjects? Can you just imagine him going around saying, now I'm the Son of God, and if you don't believe me, you're going to a fiery pit for all eternity. Yet that's what we're taught. There is only love, who is Father of all, through all, and in all. That's straight from the scripture. I just took the word God out and exchanged it with love. There's only love, who is Father of all, who is through all, and in you all. Yet 99% of the Christians today will tell you that if you haven't accepted Jesus, there's no God in you. There's no Christ in you. You have a spirit, but it's a human spirit that needs to be born again. Well, I don't know where they got two spirits from, because there's only one spirit. There's only love. And Paul said it this way, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now, if you can get that embedded into your consciousness, there's only one spirit. That means when I speak, spirit is speaking. When I touch you, it is love that touches you. Another thing Michael said last night, there's only one, well, we're taught that there's only one scripture, our Bible. The rest of them are all deception, possibly doctrine of demons. But the serious student who really wants to know the truth and studies the different scriptures, they will put your Bible to shame. Now, not what Jesus said, but the concepts that are taught and you pick up in the Bible. I want to read you, I wrote down here, I'm glad I did this, some different teachings that all say the same thing. Now, we all know what the golden rule is. And this is the Christian scripture. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus also said, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, Confucius said this in a little different way. What you do not desire for yourself, do not put on others. This is Hinduism. Treat others as you would treat yourself. Do nothing to your neighbor which hereafter you would not have your neighbor do to you. This is the Jewish thought. Thou shalt not avenge or bear any grudge, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those of you that have read the Tao Te Ching, it's one of the most, if not the, it's one of the most spiritual books on the planet. And the Tao says this, love the world as yourself, then you can care for all things. Now, that's a small example. But if you compare all the different scriptures that are written, they all basically boil down to one thing. Love God, love one another. There's only one God. There's only one spirit. So See, we think there's a Baptist God, a Lutheran God, a Pentecostal God, a Catholic God. It's all out there somewhere. Those who seek God outside of themselves have not yet awakened to the truth of their being. And I understand how hard that is to hear. If you'd have told me that 20 years ago, well, maybe longer than that, maybe 30 years ago, I'd have thought you were crazy. No God outside of myself? You are responsible for yourself. How can you possibly, and I know people do, I don't understand it, but how can you love God when you think he's going to put probably 90% of his creation in an agonizing eternal torment for eternity? That's hard to understand. Wouldn't you fear that God more than love him? What about your children that have died as dope addicts or alcoholics? Or what about your fathers that have died? How could you love a God who you thought was sending your children or your parents to an agonizing eternal fiery pit? How could you love that God? Because there's something in you that bypasses your mind that loves the truth. That's what you love. It's that desire in you to know the truth. And by following that desire, you will one day wake up. That's why we're all here this weekend. We don't have all the truth. But what's happening to us, again, is where our consciousness is awakening. You could say it this way. We are actually, literally, we are ascending in consciousness. I shared last August, I don't know how many got it, but as you ascend in consciousness, your vibrational essence increases. And I can't put a time period on it, but it's not going to be a whole lot longer till we're going to fully awaken. You're going to become a vibrational being, that your vibration will be so high that you'll begin to remember, and some of us do that now, remember things before you came here. Some of the things you begin to experience, you won't even talk about because it's unbelievable. Nobody would believe you, except maybe a few people who are beginning to awaken to the truth. But see, this is a corporate thing. I say there's a few awakening today, but literally there are thousands all over the world. I hear from people from 70 different countries that are hearing Mike and hearing Dean. Now, they don't like what they're hearing so much, but they're wanting to know the truth. And they'll ask, you know, if I can help them understand. So it's not a small thing that's taking place. In fact, the earth itself is ascending. That's a little bit too much for some people too. And religion is being exposed like it has never been exposed before. And that's coming out more and more every day. So thank God we are beginning, at least to a degree, wake from our sleep. You can even see in the Old Testament scriptures that the prophets were trying to get the people to realize the truth. There's a scripture that says, awake. This is in the Old Testament. I don't know where it's at, but it's there. Awake, O Jerusalem, and put on your beautiful garments. The scriptures talk a lot. In fact, if you have a computer and you type the word awake and awaken in your computer, you'd be surprised how many times people are told to wake up. Paul says, awake, you who are sleeping. Arise, and my Christ shall shine upon you. Awake from your sleep. Awake from your slumber. And again, if you're asleep, you can't wake yourself, but maybe you'll hear a voice. I have been awakened by a voice. What we are entering into is so unbelievable, but yet so glorious. I've often shared that if you could see your beauty, if you could just see your beauty, if you could see your loveliness, all of that old stuff would just fall off of you. And it is possible for you to see your true being. Do you think this is you? There's only a small piece of your being that is manifested in this body. You are much more. I have two messages on my website called You Are Much More Than You Know. And we're being introduced to who we are. I know a guy who he woke up one night and he saw the most beautiful being standing at his bed. He said it was the most glorious. It was like he was lit up from the inside and he just glowed with a glorious essence and presence. He emitted such an awareness of love. He said, I was just laid there in awe. And he said, I asked him, who are you? His answer to me was, I am you. Imagine that. I am you. Would that not change your life? Would that not give you a different concept of your being? Don't ever think, oh God, don't think that you are the best. We are the greatest of beings. Once we just stop. I shared on my Facebook page the other day, if you could just for a short time, just put aside everything that you think you know, just put it aside and begin to sit in the quiet and open your heart. You'd be surprised. You might not hear anything. You might sit in the quiet for a few minutes. You might not hear a thing. You might not feel a thing. But believe me, miracles happen in the quiet. Yes. And it might be the next day. It might be the next week that you'll just understand something. You'll have a knowing. When I first began to pastor a church, it was in 1986. And I don't think I'd given more than a half a dozen messages. And I was petrified. I think some of you heard me talk about, you know, being such an introvert that I couldn't even stand up in a meeting and give a testimony. I was asked to say a prayer at the end of church service one night, and I was so scared I got up and walked out and never went back to that church. So, when I was asked to pastor this church, I knew I should. I knew I was supposed to. But I thought, how am I going to give a message on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? That's a typical Pentecost. How can I possibly do that? I was so desperate. I spent a lot of time just seeking for truth. Yet I never had one bit of trouble doing that. The first series I ever gave was in 1986 at that church, and I called it Living by the Life of God. And that's our answer. You don't live by what you know. You don't live by what you've studied. You live by His life. See, that was Jesus' message. I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the answer. But we're so caught up in our failings and our human tryings and our inabilities. But there is a life that far surpasses anything we've ever even imagined when that life begins to awaken on the inside of us. Nothing could compare to living a life effortless, not having to try to be good. 13 years, every day of my life, I tried to be a better person. I tried to be good. But after July 11th, 1982, when I began to wake up, I never again, ever, had to try to be good. I just knew that once again, love was being manifested and will continue to grow, infiltrate every area of my thought and brain until one day I will be fully manifesting love on the earth. What could be better than that? What time is it? Anybody have a...
10:38.
What time?
10:38.
10:38, okay. I think I'll just quit for now. But I just encourage everybody. I used to tell people, don't give up. But you can't give up. You know how I know you can't? I've tried it. I used to get so discouraged, I'd say, God, leave me alone. I can't stand it. I can't take it anymore. I was so miserable trying to be good. And I'd hear, too late. It's too late. You've already been chosen. You've already been pre-programmed to reproduce on this earth. You can't quit. I had somebody tell me years ago when I was so discouraged. He said, Gary, I know you're discouraged now, but he said, when you get so discouraged, just remember this. Cream always rises to the top. I remember when I was a kid, we used to get whole milk. Where did that go? And you set the milk bottle down, and the cream would always rise to the top. He said, Gary, cream always rises to the top, and your spirit is the cream, and it will continue to rise to the top. Amen.